Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music. That was Lady Gaga and Bloody Mary, heard from Smith and Limon. Started out the 3 o'clock hour musically on this TGI Friday. Sean and
Rebecca Jane.
And it's the second Friday of the month, so we welcome in Ranger Kate.
Yeah.
I was going to say, she was going to say her name.
I was going to see what happened there. All
right. From Oregon Pike Cactus National Monument, it's another wonderful, exciting edition of Ranger Talk. How have you been?
Been doing all right. Been crazy in good ways, but lots of good things happening down there, and we're real excited to talk about it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, as we like to start off, let's start off with some announcements from Oregon Pike. What's going on?
So we got a few new team members. We got another new LE officer. So we're welcoming him to the team, and Anna joined us with WMPA. So we're very excited to have them both on the team. We have volunteer positionings opening on volunteer.gov. So we have for the winter season, so like October through the winter, but we have volunteer positions for a custodial volunteer, a campground host and assistant, an interpretation and visitor center volunteer, and an astronomy volunteer.
Ooh.
So if you really like...
Sky's the limit.
Exactly. If you know your dark sky stuff, which you better at this point, Sean.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, there's a lot of great volunteer positions. So if you're looking to kind of come down to a park and stay there for a little bit, the volunteers, if they have RVs, we have RV sites that we can house them on with, you know, all the hookups and everything. So it's a great opportunity to spend a winter in a very warm national park.
Right, exactly.
Another thing too is we are doing a lot of hiring right now for permanent positions in the park. So keep your eye open on usajobs.gov. But one of the things that is happening right now is that we don't necessarily have enough park housing to accommodate everyone. So we're hoping that we're trying to create a list for available rentals. So if there's any individuals or rental companies out there that might like the idea of housing prospective employees, please call us at 520-387-6849, and we will add you to a list to present to those prospective employees to reach out to.
All right. Fantastic. So on this edition of Ranger Talk, we're going to talk about bats. And I was with Rebecca. I had a glove I was going to bring in, my T-ball and all that. And I thought we were going to be talking sports. I thought it was kind of odd. But then Rebecca corrected me yesterday. She said, no, the flying kind.
Are you sure about that, Sean?
You know, maybe I should have brought in my glove and all of that. That would have been kind of fun. I guess we'll find out here in the next break. What kind of bats are we talking about? Right now, it's One Republic and Counting Stars. It's Ranger Talk, sponsored by the Ajo Chamber of Commerce on Z89.3. Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music. That was Christian Daniel, Sean Ann.
Rebecca Jane.
Along with...
Ranger Kate,
because it is Ranger Talk, sponsored by Ajo Chamber of Commerce. Okay, so we're going to be talking bats now. Okay, what kind of bats?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
I know we will.
So I thought it'd be fun to kind of start our bat conversation with a little quiz to see how much you knew about bats.
Okay.
So everyone pay attention, because we're going to test his knowledge.
All right.
See what happens here.
I'm scared.
But all right, it's going to be true or false questions. I'm going to read a statement out and just let me know, true or false, what you think. So the first question is, wooden bats are made of maple and birch.
That's a great question. I'll say true.
I'm going to go with true because I Googled that for like 5 seconds before we actually started this segment. So that's what I know from a mystery website that I read on.
Oh, wow. Right.
But anyways, to actual bats.
Okay.
All right, the first true or false question. Bats have no eyes, hence the phrase blind as a bat.
Okay, no eyes. I'm going to say false.
You are correct. Bats do, in fact, have eyes, and actually some bats can see even 3 times better than humans can.
Oh, wow.
Really? See, now, I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought, because I hear they have some sort of radar, sonar, stuff, whatever.
Echolocation.
It's not a plane.
What's the official term on that?
Echolocation.
Echolocation. Wow. See, that sounds more sophisticated. I like that.
Radar.
Right, cool.
Like he's a plane.
All right, so number one, he passed. He passed, everybody. All right, number two, all bats have rabies.
All bats have rabies?
I think most of them, a big percentage.
But she's saying all.
All.
I would say I would say false. I don't think they all have rabies. Although I did see Cujo, and he got bit by a bat. Do you remember that movie?
I've never actually seen that movie. Okay. I failed
you. Yeah. It was late 70s. It might have been a little bit before your time.
Okay.
So he got rabies from a bat. But I would still say false.
That is correct. You remembered your high school all or some phrasing. Well done. Less than 1% have rabies.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not a large percent. Less than one. I mean, still, if a bat flies over to you and bites you, you should probably get checked out because
exactly.
That'd be weird.
But
Less than 1% of bats have rabies.
Okay.
All right. Number three, there are almost 1,000 different bat species in the world.
1,000?
1,000.
I say false.
I would say, you know, I'm going to go with true. I'll say true. Why not?
You'll say true? That is correct.
Oh.
There's a lot of bats out there.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
I would say, what's the difference?
And bat species? What's the difference in dogs, I guess? That's still a poor example.
It's like different species of dogs.
Well, yeah, but you can tell.
Well, a dog is a dog. But
yeah, that's true.
It's breeds of dogs.
Right. Well, that's true. Okay.
Anyways, all right, get two more.
Okay.
Bats want to nest in your hair.
What?
Bats want to nest in your hair. I
say false.
I would have to say false. I mean, I hope not.
That is correct. Yeah, there's a myth out there that bats are going to try to get into your hair to make a nest, and they hang upside down in a roost. They do not want to go live in your hair. I'm sorry, everyone who wishes for a bat pet in their hair, but that's not a thing. All right, I'll ask you one more. One small bat can eat as many as 1,000 mosquitoes in an hour.
One small bat, 1,000 mosquitoes in an hour.
I would say true.
Mosquitoes are small.
Yeah.
1,000? Okay. I'll say true.
False.
Oh.
But they can eat around 600, which is still a lot of mosquitoes.
That is.
Tiny bugs.
That is. Wow, that's fascinating. Okay.
But yeah, so bats are pretty amazing. As you learned, there's a lot of different bats out there, over 1,000 different species, and they actually comprise the second largest taxonomic group of mammals in the world. The only the order Rodentia actually has more species. So it's pretty enormous. And bats are incredibly important for our ecosystem. So they eat a lot of insects for things like that. So they help keep pest populations, things like mosquitoes, low. But they also, because they eat a lot of insects, also help with things like agriculture. There's actually a cave called Bracken Cave in Texas where the Mexican free-tailed bats that live in that cave consume several tons of insect per night.
Wow.
And they've estimated that, like, in 2022, that saved those farmers over $1 million worth of pest control.
Wow.
So bats can be incredibly important to help with insect populations, but they're also important for pollination. Some bats are pollinators, including one that we're going to talk a lot about, the lesser long-nosed bat. But in Oregon pipe cactus in this area, they are the primary night pollinators of saguaro and Oregon pipe cactus. And they're incredibly indispensable for the Sonoran Desert ecosystem because of that. And not only are they helping us with our food, but they're supporting the food for themselves, for the animals in that ecosystem, because a lot of those fruits get eaten by animals. And, of course, they also help disperse the seeds of those fruits, too. So more cacti start popping up. So bats are incredibly important.
Wow.
And in this area, in Oregon pipe cactus, we have 14 different species of bats that we know of that are in the monument, including the lesser long-nosed bat. And some of those bats are migratory. It's one of the ones following the nectar, especially. And that trail that they migrate along is called the nectar trail. So species like the lesser long-nosed bats will actually winter down in Mexico and then migrate north following the flowers and the blooms and the fruit of the different cacti. And they can travel quite a bit of a ways, anywhere from 65 to 650 miles.
Oh, wow.
Following that all the way to northern Arizona and back. So they go everywhere, and they're incredibly important to the ecosystem. And they're also just a blast to see out there in the wild. So they're just wonderful to have around.
Wow. Fascinating.
Oh, that is very fascinating. All right, we're going to get back to the music for a little bit. We're going to come back talking bats with Ranger Kate on Ranger Talk. And, of course, Ranger Kate is from Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. Ranger Talk sponsored by Ajo Chamber of Commerce. Right now, it's Beyonce, it's Cuff It, it's Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music. Z89.3, Aho's Hit Music. That was Lato, Sean, and
Rebecca Jane.
Along with
Ranger Kate.
Ranger Kate is from Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. It is another exciting, wonderful edition of Ranger Talk. And Ranger Talk is sponsored by Aho Chamber of Commerce. All right. We're talking bats.
We are talking bats.
We are talking bats.
So I wanted to ask you, as we kind of move into our next section, when have you had a bump in with a bat?
And normally I have a bump in with a bat, and it's almost every morning when I have to leave for downtown Phoenix for my paying job at like 3:50 in the morning, and I'll just see something fly by. It's dark and it's black, but I can see an outline. And it's and it'll just right by me, and it kind of creeps me out a little bit. But I'm like, oh, a bat.
At least it's not going for your hair.
That's right. It's like, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to protect my head because I don't want it to nest. You know, so it's like, you know.
But yes, you're having a pretty typical bump in with a bat. And at Orpi right now, it's a great time to see the bats. We're bumping into them all the time. Mm-hmm. Down there right now, as I'm kind of walking to and from work, because right now, tonight, I'll be walking back from work. And there's like lamps everywhere. And the bats are usually like flying around there because there's insects there. Oh, and then, of course, you can see them on the saguaro at night kind of picking at the fruit. Uh-huh. So it's really, really neat to just go out there and see the bats. And we got a lot of them in Arizona. The Sonoran Desert in itself has approximately 70 different species of bat, and 28 of those are found in Arizona.
Wow.
And we have about 14 right here. So we have a lot of different kind of bats to see. Mm-hmm. And two of those are pollinators. So they're following that nectar trail, and those bats that are migrating and following those nectar trail in Oregon Pipe this time of year are using old mine shafts, or they're using small caves to create their roots. So if you actually go to Oregon Pipe and you see grates over the mines, there's reasons for that, many reasons, but one of them is if bats are using them, they can get in and out and not be disturbed by the folks there.
Makes sense.
And we're not the only ones going out there to see bats. The people who are working at the monument, or the visitors seeing the monument, we actually have researchers down here at the monument right now researching the bats. Brandy Stevenson and Elias from New Mexico University are in the monuments purposely trying to bump into bats.
Why are researchers trying to have bump-ins with bats? Are they batty?
Perhaps. They've been known to be. But these ones are purposely bumping into these bats to learn more about them, specifically the lesser long-nosed bat, which is a very important one. Again, it's one of those nectar bats that follow the migratory patterns. And they're trying to research the water-drinking behavior, the immunology, the diet, and the migrational movement patterns of these bats right now. And they have a lot of questions that they're trying to answer. One is, how are they moving between the roost sites, and how are they moving seasonally, and what conditions might be causing that? Why do they drink water? Because they should be, in theory, getting enough from the fruit and the nectar. So they're like, why do these bats need water? Right. But they do. So they're trying to learn more about it. They're also trying to learn more about what these bats require in terms of water and food, or how their immune system changes during their different reproductive stages. And another thing that they're trying to find out, too, is what anthropogenic effects, in other words, human-caused effects, are in play or possible right now or as time passes. So they have a lot of questions that they're trying to learn more about, and these are a great bat to study. And Oregon Pipe is a great place to do it, because the lesser long-nosed bat roost that we have in the monument is actually the largest maternity roost for this species in the United States. And it's been studied since 2001, and there can be upwards to 40,000 bats in that roost. So,
wow, 40,000 bats.
40,000 bats.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how is the research done?
So it's a great question. Got to watch that mic there.
I know.
But what they wind up doing is, for that particular roost or for other places that they're trying to catch bats, they put up what's called a mist net. It's a very fine net. And in that particular roost, they can catch up to 50 bats at night, which is a lot of bats. And 2 to 3 times a week, because they're trying to learn more about bats and the water sources, they'll visit Tanajas or other water sources found in the monument and actually record activity with an infrared camera to kind of see what they're doing. And they're also conducting phenology surveys. So they're monitoring the agave, Oregon Pipe, and saguaro fruiting and flowering to get an idea of how much food is on the landscape for these bats. And that kind of plays a role with invasive species and like how plants are affecting these mm-hmm. things too. And so they're out there doing that. And when they actually catch a bat, what they ultimately do is identify the species, age, sex, and reproductive status of the bat for all the bats that they catch. But for the lesser long-nosed bats, they go a little further and collect a different variety of samples, including pollen from their body to kind of see what plants they've been visiting. They collect fecal and urine samples to kind of see what's going through their diet, blood for testing, and then they also do disease sampling as well, which will be important a little bit later in our talk about why they do that. And then ultimately, they implant what's called a PIT tag, or a passive integrative transponder, which is essentially like a little tiny microchip. Mm-hmm. And how that winds up working is there is a bunch of different antennae set up among known bat roosts through here and down in Mexico. So when those bats pass one of those roosts, the antennae goes off and they can track the location of the bat, which is interesting.
So what do you do when you catch a bat?
We do all that.
All that.
But what we wind up doing afterwards is, so we're not too cruel to the bats. So we're very gentle with them. And the bats get treated very nicely. And before they're released, they actually feed them some sugar for being such good sports about being a sample.
So they get a treat.
They get a bat treat.
Oh.
So like those aliens who abducted me, like they're not so bad. They gave me a treat when I wanted. They gave me a lollipop. It's great.
So they can go tell the other bats, hey, it's okay. You'll get a treat.
Go get caught.
Yeah, you'll get caught. They'll give you a treat.
That's what they're hoping. But like all of this plays into their research to kind of find out what's going on with these bats and what may affect these bats, and also get a population count on some of these bats too. And right now those populations are doing pretty good, which is very exciting.
All right. More about bats coming up here in just a few on this edition of Ranger Talk with Ranger Kate, sponsored by the Ajo Chamber of Commerce. Why are you looking at me like that, Rebecca? She's looking at me like, she's just looking at me with like, she's going to start laughing at me.
Well, she did, ultimately.
If you could only, thank goodness we don't have a live camera in here.
We should put one in here.
Yeah, no, you know, I think not. here's Keith Urban. It's God Whispered Your Name. It's Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music. Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music, AJR, and Way Less Sad. Also heard from Bakar and Helen Back. Started off the 4 o'clock hour musically on this TGI Friday. Sean and
Rebecca Jane.
Along with
Ranger Kate.
Because it's Ranger Talk with Ranger Kate. And Ranger Kate is from Oregon Pipe, Cactus National Monument. And Ranger Talk is sponsored by Ajo Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking bats. Bats. We're getting batty.
They fly in the night.
So the research going on in the monument seems pretty interesting, but why are they so worried about bat populations? I mean, because it really seems like there's plenty of them around, and
all right,
you know, maybe with a few less, I wouldn't have to worry so much about them getting stuck in my long, luxurious hair.
And we laugh. So the bat populations is actually a very important thing right now. So, right, we do know that in the park right now, as far as we are aware, that they're doing pretty well. But that can't be said for bat populations across the country. They're actually declining incredibly rapidly.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of different reasons for that. One reason is fragmentation, which is the kind of encroachment of urbanization onto their habitat. But what winds up with happening with fragmentation is the urbanization happens kind of and leaves a fragment patch of natural land. So it's very difficult for them to get from point A to point B because there's a city in the way. So fragmentation kind of isolates them and makes it harder to actually get to their resources that they need to survive. Another thing that's going on is, of course, invasive species, including invasive plant species that might overtake the natural plants in that area, including cacti or agave that these bats feed upon. So invasive species removal is incredibly important for reasons like that. A big thing that I recently learned is studying this and learning more about it is wind turbines are actually incredibly detrimental for bats, which I'm not busting on any source of energy. They all have pros and cons, but the wind turbine is actually killing hundreds of thousands of bats a year.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, birds, too. But the hoary bat, for example, there's an estimated 128,000 of those dying each year because of the turbines. And not fully sure what's happening there, but they're... The hoary bat and several, what they've noticed with the turbines is that the bats that are getting hit by them seem to be migratory species. So they're thinking that the bats may just be trying to pass through and are getting hit by the turbines. But they don't know for sure.
Hmm. So, you know, thinking about it, I've actually seen photos of white stuff on bat noses. I mean, what is that? Whipped cream? They having some cappuccinos or something? I mean, what's going on there?
I wish they would, because that would be adorable. I would love to see a bat drinking a cappuccino. Probably not good for the bat, but it would be cute. But unfortunately, it's something called white nose syndrome. And this is the really big, bad guy for the bats. It showed up in 2006 up in New York and has been spreading across the United States and Canada very rapidly, and it's leaving millions upon millions of bats dead.
Oh, wow.
And what it is, it's a fungus that attacks the bare skin of the bat while they're hibernating. And when they're hibernating, of course, there's not the food resources, one of the reasons that they're hibernating, and it makes the bat more active and winds up burning up a lot of the fat resources that bat is stored. And that bat winds up waking up because it's hungry, goes outside, there's nothing for it to eat, no insects because it's winter, and it winds up dying. Mm. So it winds up just starving to death. And the bats can catch the fungus very, very easily from contact from other bats. They can pick it up on the surfaces of caves or mine. And unfortunately, humans are a huge transportation method for that fungus. We carry it on our shoes, we carry it on our gear. If you've been to a cave within the last several years, you've probably seen disinfectant maps that they have you walk on to kind of kill the fungus. And that's what their goal is. A lot of caves now will ask you, they'll have like a little release form like, have you been in a cave in the last 5 years? Are you wearing that clothing right now? And what they're trying to do is prevent that cave from getting infected with the white nose syndrome, because it's, once an area is infected, it's pretty much the bats are done. So it's incredibly important, and it's being researched right now to try to prevent as much of that spread as possible. And I wasn't really sure how much of it was here in Arizona, because I couldn't really find anything. So I actually wound up reaching out to Angie McIntyre, who's the statewide bat specialist at Arizona Game and Fish. And she had some good news for us here in Arizona, is that white nose syndrome hasn't reached Arizona yet. But it did get to New Mexico last year and Colorado area. So it's kind of a when it's showing up, not an if at this point. But they are, and a lot of different agencies are doing a lot of different research, doing a lot of different surveys, trying to see what we can do to protect these bat populations. They're doing cave surveys and they're swabbing bats. And I mentioned in Oregon Pipe, they're doing disease samplings. And that's one of the things that they're looking for right there, is trying to see if that white nose syndrome has arrived yet. But right now, there's a lot of surveillance that's going on in hopes that we can kind of catch it early and kind of minimize the impacts from it. And when we're doing our research at Oregon Pipe, we're taking every precaution to make sure that that's to kind of prevent that spread as much as possible. So gloves are changed out, every single bat, all the equipment is decontaminated. Anything that touches a bat during the sampling process gets cleaned before it goes near another bat. And so there's a lot of research being done right now to see what can be done to protect all these different bats. And for the lesser long-nosed bats, they should hopefully not be too affected or affected at all. So white nose syndrome only affects hibernating bats. So for the migratory bats who do not hibernate, they're most likely not be affected by it. So that's a good thing. But right now, researchers are really looking into testing natural bacterias and skin microbes to see about treatment for bats. They're trying to see about maybe altering the conditions in like some of the cave to slow fungal growth. And vaccines are actually, my understanding is vaccines are actually being created or in development to kind of boost the resistance to white nose syndrome. So there's a lot of different agencies and a lot of different people coming together to try to do what we can to protect the bats.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is very interesting. All right. Well, more about bats coming up here in the next break with Ranger Kate. This is Ranger Talk, sponsored by Ajo Chamber of Commerce. Continuing on, more music for you on this TGI Friday. Imagine Dragons and Bad Liar. It's Z89.3, Ajo's hit music and the voice of Western Pima County. Z89.3, Ajo's hit music. That was Esteban Armado. There you go. Sean and
Rebecca Jane.
Along with
Ranger Kate.
It is Ranger Talk with Ranger Kate. Ranger Kate is from Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. And Ranger Talk is sponsored by Ajo Chamber of Commerce. Okay, so it sounds like bats are having it pretty rough. Not necessarily the ones here in Arizona, but the ones they're having it kind of rough. Is there anything we can do to help out these bat-tastic bat boys?
That was beautiful.
Oh, it's almost like you wrote it.
Well, yeah, there are, in fact, many things that we can do to assist these bat-tastic bat boys. Man, that is a phrase. One of the easiest things to do is stay out of closed caves or hibernation areas. Very much just kind of talking about how disinfecting gear and stuff, making sure that if you are going to explore an underground area, that you've disinfected shoes, disinfected gears, or you're not wearing clothes that have been into a cave before. That's a big way to help prevent the transmission of white nose. If you see any dead or sick bats, please report it to any sort of park personnel that may be able to go over there and kind of see what's going on, because they do want to kind of keep an eye on this. If you are wanting to actually have bats more in your area, there is something called a bat box.
A bat box. Oh, wow.
It's kind of like the bat cave, but a box.
Uh-huh.
sorry, that was terrible. Anyways, it's essentially a birdhouse. So if you would like kind of bats around your home, it's essentially kind of like a birdhouse for the bats. And I've seen a lot of houses that do have them, and bats will come and roost in there. I have a former professor in Savannah, Georgia, who put a bat box out, and he's been taking photos nonstop of the bats who have now come to live at his house in the bat box.
I'll be interested in that.
That's interesting.
Wow.
So that's a very easy way to kind of help the populations. And another simple thing, too, is just plant native plants, things like cactus, things like agave, things that bats and other pollinators consume. It's a big way to help them just be able to survive and thrive out there in the field. And of course, another very simple thing to do is just learn more and spread awareness about what's going on with the bats. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling really frisky, you can even volunteer. There are a lot of different organizations that do bat walks, bat talks, rehabilitation. If you just go Google and just type bat volunteer Arizona, like there's tons of stuff that pops out.
Wow.
So if you are interested in helping efforts, it's very easy too, and it's a lot of fun.
All right. Fantastic. You know, the bat box, I'm really interested. I think we may look at getting one of those. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. It is really fun to watch them come out.
Yeah.
Has to be like a really big box. You think?
No, it's pretty tiny. Like they don't take up much space. Bats are very, very tiny little critters, except that one I just showed you during the break. Yeah, it's a very large critter.
Yeah, right.
But they're very, very tiny, so it doesn't need to be big.
Wow. Okay, cool. Oh, that's something we'll look into. All right, more Ranger Talk with Ranger Kate coming up here in just a few. Right now it's Jack Harlow, First Class. It's Z89.3, Aho's Hit Music. Z89.3, Aho's Hit Music, and the voice of Western Pima County, that was Tango, Sean and
Rebecca Jane,
along with
Ranger Kate.
Ranger Kate is from Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. It's Ranger Talk, sponsored by Aho Chamber of Commerce, and we are wrapping things up next month. What is on the agenda?
Toads and torts. We're going to talk about lots and lots of toads and tortoises.
Ooh-hoo, Rebecca J. can't wait to talk about toads.
No.
Her favorite, toads.
My sociopathic tendencies are coming out.
But tortoises, definitely, Rebecca J. loves tortoises.
Yeah, I'm okay with
it. And so we'll have to, we can learn more about Tortellina.
Yeah.
Our Sonoran desert tortoise, so.
And Horace.
Oh, yeah. And okay. You want to talk real quick about Horace?
Sure.
Okay. So you found this tortoise, and he was spray painted. But he, right?
He.
He was spray painted and had somebody drilled a hole in his shell. So sad.
Yeah. My understanding was Border Patrol found it and reported it to the head of our resources, Tyler. And I got a call, and Tyler's like, I have an awkward question. Would you like to take care of a tortoise? And I'm like, who say no to that? Like, who says no to that?
Right.
Yes, I want to take care of a tortoise. So he was very quickly dubbed Horace the tortoise.
Uh-huh.
And he lived with me for 2 days. And then we got him transported up to Arizona Game and Fish Department's Wildlife Center, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. And they've taken in Horace, and Horace is doing much better.
Wonderful.
Hopefully they get the paint taken off poor Horace. But he's walking around. He's doing good. We had photos on my social media of just the adventures of Horace. And then my friend and the tortoise researcher in the park, Sean Suter, was the one who drove him up, and he took photos, and he's planning to go back up there. So hopefully we get a Horace update by the time we actually do this.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. That's was that the one up in North Phoenix?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Oh, that's what I get Tortellina from.
That's where we adopted our Sonoran desert tortoise. So
yeah.
That's fantastic. So it's great to know he's doing fantastic. That was it was kind of heartbreaking, but he seems like he's doing fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He's in a much better place now.
That's fantastic. So happy ending all around, and that is great. All right, cool. So next week it'll be toads and tortoises. That's going to be
next month.
Or next month. I'm so used to things being weekly. Next month. Mm-hmm. So toads and tortoises. There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
as always.
All right. You good, Rebecca J?
I am good.
She's looking at me like she's going to start laughing at me again. It happens. All right, here's Brett Eldridge. It's Don't Ya. It's Z89.3, Ajo's Hit Music.